from DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I guess the only thing I can say to start the program off today is wow. You know, many of you sort of predicted to me on Twitter over the last 24 hours what my reaction would be, given everything we've seen unfold since Saturday when Georgia has the, quote, reveal of its brand new West End Zone facility to recruits. They saw the new locker room. They saw the hospitality area that recruits will be entertained in coming this fall. And obviously we knew it was going to be a big event because Jeff Sintel had been telling us for a while kind of the growing list of people who were going to be attending. This was going to be Georgia's sort of big moment of the summer. Kirby, who I think, you know, generally speaking, likes to do sort of small-scale, individual attention-like recruiting efforts. This was sort of an attempt at sort of a grand-scale type thing. Let's bring a bunch of people in at a one time. And, boy, it could not have been bigger than it was. We'll talk about it all here coming up over the course of the next few minutes here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And I guess let me just say this off the top here. As many of you suggested, I am overwhelmed by it all. And, you know, I think, obviously, I do this show from the perspective of a fan, and I think that, I'm going to be very much like many of you would say, the times are just fun right now, right? I mean, it is just really cool. I mean, we're still several days away from the start of Georgia practice and still many weeks away from the start of the season. I mean, this could technically, for a lot of college football programs, be a bit of a kind of a sort of a dreary sort of, you know, dog days of summer, biding time, passing time till the season starts type thing. And yet at Georgia, it's the best of times here as Georgia adds just a massive, massive haul of recruits here. Three commits over the course of the last 24 hours, top 100 type talent here. Let's sort of dive in and kind of get into all of this. And let me start with John Emery Jr. here, the running back from Louisiana, the five-star running back, kind of following in the footsteps of what Georgia did a year ago when it signed Zamir White and James Cook and what we just saw leave the Georgia program with Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. Very much it seems that John Emery Jr. is going to very much fit into that mold. I love what Emery put on Twitter. In fact, if you're watching on video, I want to show you a little bit of this from John Emery Jr.'s Twitter account. When he made it official that he was indeed committing to the University of Georgia here, let me show you the Emery tweet here so you can kind of see how he feels about this. 110% committed, he says. Glad to be that way. Hashtag go dogs. That's John Emery Jr. in that regard, letting you know how excited he is to be a part of the Georgia program. And I don't have to tell you, for those of you that watch recruiting closely, have followed this stuff for years, you know that for a player from Louisiana, especially when LSU needs running backs, when a player like that says, I'm 110% committed to Georgia, a state what? Three states over to the east. For a player to say that, that's the kind of thing in recruiting world you just haven't heard a whole lot of. Georgia going into Louisiana, taking a prize running back out of that state. But this is the kind of thing that's been brewing here for a while. In fact, let me let you go back to May when Jeff Sintel, I think, first started reminding some of us that, hey, listen, we haven't been talking enough about John Emery Jr. You know, it may seem like a huge long shot that Georgia, after signing two of the nation's top five running backs for 2018, could come back for 2019 and pull a haul of this regard, a player of this renown. But Jeff Sintel started telling us back then this was the kind of thing that Georgia was going to have a chance to do. In fact, let me go back to May. Let me let you hear Jeff Sintel talking about the idea of Georgia cozying up to John Emery Jr., and specifically Jeff describes some of the ways in which back in the spring Georgia was trying to get that done. Here's Jeff.
Here's a little bit of intel for you guys. I think things have changed a little bit with John Emery Jr. The top recruit for UGA no one is talking about is probably John Emery Jr. The reason why is John said probably within the last month or so, especially after his recent visit to UGA, didn't really enjoy the visit, didn't really feel a lot of love. Also, he's told SEC Country that he wants to go somewhere where he can get like first team, second team carries right out of the box. And of course, that's not going to happen at Georgia. With John Emery, though, the final point I'll share with that is Emery had Cortez Hankton and Dell McGee there watching his scrimmage tonight. Auburn coaches were there, Florida coaches were there, LSU coaches were there. I think the inside track would have to be LSU, but I do hear that Georgia is coming up on LSU's heels, and that's very interesting considering what Georgia's doing at the running back spot right now, given that maybe the Vogue recruit for the running back target for 2019 was IMG Academy five-star prospect Trey Saunders. Sources have told us at Dog Nation that John Emery will also be at UGA this weekend on a visit. So that's going to be a lot of guys in town for that.
So a lot to follow there with Jeff, but it helps tell us a really good story here. Not only is John Emery Jr., running back from Louisiana, heavily recruited by LSU, I guess also recruited hard by Mississippi State, too. There were some 24/7 sports crystal balls from Riders having Emery landing at Mississippi State here recently. But the in-state pull is always going to be strong for John Emery Jr. Plus, Jeff Sintel alludes to the fact that Emery was very cautious about depth charts. He wanted to know, you know, his chance of sort of being the guy at running back for a particular program here. All of that sort of sets up a really tough recruitment for Georgia when it comes to John Emery Jr., but as Jeff Sintel describes, back in May, Cortez Hankton, the brand-new Georgia wide receivers coach, and Del McGee, the now legendary UGA running back coach, for his black belt recruiting efforts, they go to Louisiana. They're impressing upon John Emery Jr. He's taking visits repeatedly to Georgia. He's at the reveal event this weekend, and then sort of the rest is history on that. And obviously, for those of you that maybe don't follow this stuff quite as closely as our entire audience does, there is a lot to know about Emery in terms of the value that it brings the Georgia program. In fact, with Jeff Sintel, who we just heard from a moment ago, when he had a chance to see Emery up close and personal at the opening, which was the major recruiting event that happened a few weeks ago over in Frisco, Texas, I mean, Jeff came away with a pretty bold statement, both in terms of Georgia's likelihood of getting one of these top-flight running backs and kind of where John Emery Jr. sort of ranked and compared on that list of best running backs in the country. Here's a little more of Jeff Sintel to give us a little bit of context for the John Emery decision that was just made on Sunday.
This is going to be a very, very steep mountain for Georgia and Del McGee, but there are little things like Georgia was his first offer in terms of John Emery. The thing here with the running backs is I think there are four terrific running backs. What I've seen out of the last few days at the opening, I think there's a distinct pecking order where it goes John Emery Jr. barely, and then Ty Davis, that's the LSU commitment, who grew up 5 minutes outside Tiger Stadium. These will be tough pulls, but at the end of the day, I do think Georgia will get one of those four. Right now, it feels to me like Georgia is going to wind up with one of those four elite running backs for 2019. And if Georgia doesn't get Trey Saunders or Noah Kane, maybe the major food group backs that everybody's been talking about, even on our show, I think that's going to be not just okay. I think it would be splendid if they ended up with a guy like John Emery Jr., who I think John Emery Jr. is the best back in the country.
So that's Jeff Sintel from a couple of weeks ago saying way before John Emery committed to Georgia that he thought Emery was the best running back in the country, even comparison to other guys we talked about, like Ty Davis, like Noah Kane, like Trey Sanders, the two IMG Academy teammates. So really interesting stuff from Jeff Sintel there. Maybe the most fun part about all of this for me, though, was the great response that I thought Georgia quarterback Justin Fields had to all of this. Fields had been instrumental in sort of hanging out and visiting with Emery when he's been in Athens. They've apparently formed quite a friendship here. And Fields was giving himself some credit after Emery committed last night. In fact, let me show you Justin Fields here on Twitter, what I thought was kind of a classic response from him, kind of, you know, sort of patting him on the back here. Here's Justin Fields says, "There's no way I'm not the best recruiter in the country." He gives you the laughing emoji, then the congrats, bro, for John Emery Jr. committing to the University of Georgia. I love that from Justin Fields. In fact, Justin Fields, I think, also gave himself a little bit of credit for the Micaiah Tongue commitment as well. I think we have the Fields tweet on Micaiah Tongue there as well, also kind of showing some love to himself for that. He says, "I'm going to take some credit for my boy Micaiah Tongue's commitment too. Congrats, bro." So Justin Fields obviously feeling pretty good here in his role of UGA ambassador, much like, you know, his predecessors, guys like Richard LeCount and Jake Fromm have done. Justin Fields kind of getting into the mix and the fold on that too, which is a lot of fun. Speaking of Micaiah Tongue, I'll get to him in just a moment. Let me also, though, talk about another one of those players that Georgia added on Sunday, Rian Trouble Davis, the linebacker here. And, you know, on any other day, we're starting the show and we're talking, you know, sort of, you know, incessantly about Rian Davis and what he brings to the Georgia program. This is a top 100 recruit in the entire country. It's the kind of addition to the 2019 class that makes you long forget whatever went down with Owen Popoe back in early May here. Georgia has responded to that emphatically, bringing in Davis. And you can read more about Rian Trouble Davis from Jeff Sintel at DogNation.com. But it goes without saying that this is a huge addition to Georgia. One of these guys, and Kirby likes these guys that you can, you know, use on first and second down one way, and then on third down down, you can sort of play him a little different way. There's that cross-training versatility that Davis seems to bring to the table here, and I think that he is a really, really fun addition to the Georgia class here, and you're going to give Glenn Schumann a lot of credit for this. I think that Schumann is one of the rising stars in the coaching ranks here. We talk a lot about James Coley. We talk a lot about Sam Pittman and Dale McGee. Glenn Schumann is quickly earning his ranks right there alongside those guys as can't-do-without recruiters for this Georgia program. Let me mention Micaiah Tung here for a moment, the other addition to the Georgia class here for 2019. He's a four-star athlete. He's also out of Louisiana. He says, or at least it's been reported at Dog Nation, that he's going to start his Georgia career off as a wide receiver, but he's tall and he's big and he runs well. And for those of you that either listen or watch this show on a regular basis, you know that for these guys like Micaiah Tung, who kind of have that size but also run really well too, their top values at defensive back. I mean, Micaiah Tung, to me, looks like a future NFL defensive back. You know, maybe he ends up having great success at the wide receiver position. If that's what he wants to start out and try to do, all respect to him as he tries to do that. But when you see this sort of athletic specimen, when you see the speed compared to the size, it just looks like future NFL defensive back to me. So ultimately, I hope that's the opportunity that Tung gets at Georgia, because I think he brings a lot to the table there in that scenario. I mean, overall, the bottom line here is what an incredible pull for Georgia this weekend. Three big commits: Micaiah Tung, Rian Davis, John Emery Jr. Obviously, over the course of the next few days, we're going to talk a lot about all of these guys as the rich keep getting richer. Number one in the country for the class of 2018. Georgia on the move here for 2019 as well. And as a lot of Georgia coaches have already told you on social media over the last 24 hours, looks like there's still more to come. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented by Marco's Pizza, and we're glad you're with us. No matter how you get to us on video, live, it's good to be back on video again today. 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, Dog Nation Twitter feed, the Dog Nation YouTube page. We love being live on video each and every day. We also enjoy being on the radio with our friends in Athens, and it's good to be back there today as well at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We appreciate you listening to us there on the Classic Cities, choice for sports, 960 The Ref. And, of course, podcast form, whether it be Apple Podcasts, the Google Podcast Player as a part of your Android device, SoundCloud, the world-famous DogNation.com. We're just really glad you're part of Dog Nation Daily here today. We'll get Chip Towers coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, I'll remind you that this is all brought to you today by Marco's Pizza. You know, right now, Marco's got a great offer for you. You can say hello, Primo, with a great offer of two medium, two-topping pizzas for just $6.99 each. It's every store, every day, the Italian way. You can get two medium, two-topping pizzas for $6.99 each. Just go to Marco's.com to find the Marco's nearest you, and you can find out how you can take advantage of that great offer that's sort of fed my family all summer long, and it's been a lot of fun and really great stuff in that regard. As I mentioned, Chip Towers here coming up. We'll talk to him about a lot of stuff. Before we get to that, though, I want to focus in a little bit more on kind of what happens this weekend, and we'll talk about, you know, the three names of the players that Georgia brings in with Micaiah Tung and Rian Davis and John Emery Jr., but Kirby Smart's reaction to this, I think, is really important here as well, because, you know, Kirby, when it's all said and done, when the dust clears on Sunday, I think he had a very carefully worded message and tweet that goes out. It's pretty clear that there's some gears turning behind the scenes for Kirby Smart here, and maybe a bit of a power move on Kirby Smart's part here to sort of set up the next phase of development for the Georgia Athletic Department, for the football program, and how it fits into the picture there of facilities at UGA. Here is the tweet from Kirby there at the end of the night last night, where he says, "If you build it, they will come. Thanks, members of the McGill Society, for a beautiful new home. Hashtag the reveal." And that's the tweet, but I also want to show you a little deeper here. The actual graphic that's a part of that message, and of course, if you're listening to the show right now, I'm going to have to describe this to you. But when you look at the graphic that's put together and the sort of subliminal message in that graphic, it's pretty obvious here, I think, what's going on. Here's the graphic from Kirby Smart again a little closer. It says the reveal. It gets its own sort of logo, West End Zone, July 28, 2019. If you build it, they will come. Thank you, McGill Society. Pretty clearly what Kirby Smart seems to be doing right here is, I think, drawing a line between the investment of donors, and obviously the McGill Society is sort of that elite group of UGA donors, the investment of donors and the and the way it's going to be received by recruits, the timing of three commits on the day after the big recruiting event from Saturday, that doesn't feel like a coincidence. Like so much stuff in the Kirby Smart era, there feels like a calculation there, and it's the best kind of calculation, I would say, as Kirby Smart knows that he's going to need future projects like this. Maybe it's a weight room to come. Maybe it's, you know, who even knows what Kirby Smart's got planned here. But he wants it clearly defined right here and right now that when donors step out and spend money, when the athletic director Greg McGarrity okays these kinds of advances in the program, these kind of capital campaigns, when all of this stuff is allowed to take place, the result, at least according to Kirby Smart, is going to be big time recruits like the three that committed to Georgia on Sunday. I thought that tweet from Kirby Smart was sort of a smart way to kind of lay the groundwork for whatever it is that he's going to ask for in the future, and it's obviously going to be a really interesting time to watch all of this unfold in the days, weeks, and months ahead. All right, it's good to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. We're going to talk a lot more about this stuff throughout the rest of the day, throughout the rest of the week, including later on. I want to let you hear a little bit of audio from Kirby Smart. We'll do all that kind of coming up in our program here. For now, though, for more on the big reveal and for more on what's next for Georgia, including the start of practice this week, let's get ready to say hello to our buddy Chip Towers.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Always fun on a Monday to have our buddy Chip Towers here, who you know and love from DogNation.com on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And Chip, it's a happy Monday to you. Thanks for being with us. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing fantastic. Happy Monday to the Bulldog Nation. I'm sure everybody woke up in a joyful mood this morning with all the activity over the weekend, and slept good Sunday night. There was a lot to celebrate, for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I want to kind of get into some of this with you, including how the West End Zone project sort of fits into all this. But before we do that, just off the top of your head, let me get a little perspective from you. I mean, I think people have always assumed that Georgia was a program that was a sort of a good recruiting program. That was true in the Richt era. It was sort of true in even the Donnan and the Goff era, sort of pre-internet. Georgia seemed to be getting a lot of the players that it wanted. But, Chip, I know you would join me in saying that there has never been anything at Georgia like the unprecedented collection of talent that Kirby Smart's put together over the last few years, and it looks like 2019 is going to be no different in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, it's really incredible to behold. And you know, it's funny, I'm actually writing about this right now, and I'll have a Towers take up this morning, you know, kind of on the new $63 million locker room, which is essentially what it is. It's just a two-story building built between the West Grandstand and the bridge over which passes Sanford Drive. And it's just amazing what an effect that has had already. Now, I'm not saying that these guys signed because, hey, we got a nice locker room to change clothes in. It's like you said, it's more represents a commitment from the University of Georgia to kind of taking it to the next level, and kind of Georgia saying, hey, we're in, we're all in, we're in it to win it. And that's certainly what's being communicated now by Kirby Smart. That's just the first start of it, though. You have to begin these relationships with these kids. You have to build these relationships. You have to convince them to come. And I can't tell you, Brandon, I mean, you know, I don't know how much people understand, like, Micaiah Tung, attends University Laboratory School. That is literally on the LSU campus. Yeah. That is 8/10 of a mile from Tiger Stadium. He can walk to the game. I'm sure he'll walk to the Georgia LSU game on October 13th when Georgia visits there. So you're really starting to get into some territory when you're going into LSU and plucking out not just Micaiah Tung from there on campus, but obviously John Emery Jr. Out of that area, west of New Orleans, which are right there on Interstate 310, which is right in between New Orleans and Baton Rouge. Yeah. So that's deep, deep, deep in Cajun territory there, and it's amazing what they're able to do. So, you know, I think one, you already have these relationships. Two, you're showing the commitment. And then three, of course, is what you've done on the field, what Georgia's just coming off of. It's just an unbelievable amount of momentum that Georgia has seized. They're carrying. They've managed to keep it rolling. And, you know, it's actually pretty cool the way this all worked out from a timing standpoint. This is the last weekend, really, that you'll have anything to do with recruiting, and then you're rolling straight into camp. You know, practices start on Friday. The kids will actually start working out and everything. Orientation Wednesday, Thursday, and then they'll be on the field Friday. Yeah, it's incredible the amount of momentum that Georgia has right now, and you know, we'll see how soon they can cash in on it, or if they can cash in on it.
And on the subject of the West End Zone facility for a moment, maybe I'm connecting dots where they don't necessarily need to be connected, but I think back to 2016, you know, when Demetrius Robertson initially committed to Cal, it's like in the immediate aftermath of that, all of a sudden Trey Blount commits to Georgia. It almost seemed like an orchestration on Kirby Smart's part of, okay, we missed it on this wide receiver, but hey, we're getting this wide receiver. And it almost seemed like the timing of that was sort of too perfect not to be intentional. When I think about what happened over the course of the weekend, it sort of feels like the same way. It's Kirby Smart saying, let me show people how much I wanted this West End Zone, and let me show people how you know, much this is going to mean for UGA. I'm going to time all three of these commits to sort of come in the aftermath of this. And then I'm going to talk about, hey, if you build it, they will come. And all of a sudden, that's going to sort of give me the strength and sort of prestige I need for the next big project I want, be it a weight room or whatever else. I mean, do you see that same sort of calculation behind all of this? If so, I think it's brilliant on Kirby Smart's part. But, I mean, all of this seems so sort of like too big to be unintentional.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no question. If I've learned anything about Kirby in these 3 years that he's been in town, that he is very intentional, he's very organized, and probably, an under-reported aspect of Kirby Smart is just his business acumen. You know, he's changed kind of everything that Georgia does, even in regard to, you know, the summer tours and stuff. He puts much more of his focus and time on the donor base, and that's because he's asking for things. He's asking for things he needs, and, you know, what's the ultimate judgment of a good businessman is you know, your return on investment. So, you know, he's asking these people, these Georgia alums, hey, invest into the future with us, and I'm going to show you what I can do for you, and that's what's happening right now. Now, you know, hey, I don't know. I mean, you could say that the pressure gets turned up on this. You know, the expectation goes up. The more that you, you know, you're more the given, the more you're expected, all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, I think Kirby Smart's very comfortable in that environment. But then, you know, on top of that is the football side of it. You know, it's talent evaluation. It's knowing who you want, where they are, how to get them, and show them what you have. Georgia's always had that to some degree, but I think Georgia, more than anything, has capitalized in previous years kind of on their traditions and legacy and you know, their influence in the state as a state university. But now I think Kirby has been able to expand on that and carry it into, you know, a little bit more of a national brand. That's what's happening right now.
Let me change the subject. You mentioned practice coming up for Georgia at the end of this week here, and one of the things that you reported on at DogNation.com last week was the fact that while we're still, I guess, somewhat unsure of what the status for Demetrius Robertson is going to be, he is going to at least be eligible to practice. Now, he may be eligible for a whole lot more than that, but at least eligible to practice here. Can you tell us, for those that maybe didn't get a chance to see your piece at DogNation.com, and maybe as a follow-up to that, kind of what it is that we do know about the former five-star wide receiver transfer to UGA, Demetrius Robertson, here?
Well, here's what we know. What he is considered at this point, is a transfer in residence. So the rule as it is, the rule stands without any kind of appeal or anything, is you have to have a year in residence on campus before you're eligible. But while you're awaiting that ruling by the NCAA, and that's where it gets real gray here. I mean, nobody seems to know, you know, when the NCAA, you know, meets and discusses these things, how and when they're going to come down and all that kind of stuff. But in the meantime, while the ball is in their court, as long as you meet all of the other requirements, and, we don't know where that is because all that's private information, but in terms of getting enrolled at Georgia, you can practice. You know, you can practice till the cows come home. I fully expect Demetrius Robertson, he, at the very least, he's going to be with the team and going through all the team activities. At the most, he'll be dressed out and actually participating in all the drills. There's a lot that goes into that. You know, you've got medical clearance, academic clearance, all those other things. You still have those boxes still have to be checked. But in and of itself, as a transfer, awaiting a waiver or some sort of hearing, he's good to go. So you're gonna see Demetrius Robertson. Hopefully, you'll see him out there practicing and going through drills with the rest of the wide receivers. That's the best case scenario, because as you know, then he can hit the ground running if he gets that final check mark that's going to make him eligible. And there's a lot of positive, other situations going on around the country where other transfer students are getting favorable replies to their waivers. So there's a lot of good precedents, what I was trying to think of. I'm sorry. There's a lot of good precedents going into this particular case, and that doesn't mean that it's going to happen favorably for Demetrius Robertson, but certainly the climate is good for this type of transfer.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. By the letter of the rule book, it would almost seem like Demetrius Robertson sort of destined to be ineligible, but just because you have a rule, there's no rule that you have to enforce the rules that you have, and maybe we're in a state right now where the NCAA is just not interested in enforcing all of its rules anymore, given some political, maybe the wrong word, but almost seeming political pressure against the body for how it sort of handled student-athletes in the past.
Well, I think what they're starting to, they've embraced and have learned, from a legal standpoint, certainly, coaches can pick up and move anytime they want to, and that the same as kind of can be said. I mean, you should be able to attend any school you want to attend. If you're just a regular student, certainly it's different, and you can't have the wild, wild west out there. I mean, I think all the coaches are in agreement that you just can't have, athletic free will, so these guys could just every time things start going wrong, they can pick up and change. But I mean, if you have real situations that and you're literally unhappy where you are, then basically what we're learning is the NCAA is becoming a little bit more lenient in allowing these people to move around, and that's certainly it's the first it started with graduate transfers, which I agree 100%, and Kirby Smart's in agreement. Hey, if you've graduated somewhere, you're like any other graduate student, you're free to go anywhere you can get in school, at that point. And it started with that. Then you saw the door get cracked open a little bit with what was going on with Ole Miss, people fleeing the NCAA sanctions that were coming there, and not their fault, so the NCAA is, giving them their blessing. And then now you get in these situations like D. Rob, the kid over at NC State that recently had a favorable ruling. I think it's definitely a good time for this to be happening. And here, worst case scenario, Demetrius Robertson is going to be with the Georgia Bulldogs this year. He'll be assigned a number. He'll be assigned a locker. He'll be going to class. And he'll be working out with the Bulldogs. If he's not playing this fall, he'll be playing next fall.
So, obviously, the next time you and I speak on this program, Georgia practice will have started. And at that point in time, we'll just be reacting to whatever is kind of going on. But we're sort of in still preview mode, at least for the next couple of days here. And I know you'll probably write a lot about this at dognation.com. But I am sort of curious to find out, when you sort of think about your own sort of checklist of things that you're looking for, those first things you're trying to identify, what's on your mind here on the sort of, I guess, couple days prior to the beginning of Georgia practice? What are you thinking about in regards of what you're going to be looking for specifically, Chip?
Well, when I get to this point, I'm looking at the 18 season. I'm looking at, okay, what are Georgia's prospects heading into this season? And we all have what we think, but until they get on the field, you can't be sure about what the kind of team Georgia's going to be fielding. So this is a team that's highly in flux, I mean, like they always are for the most part, the cyclical nature of college football, but this one in particular, you're losing all that leadership. You're losing all those defensive players Georgia's running back recruitment has been unbelievable, but that's not a changing of the guard of small significance in Georgia's backfield. That's more than 8,000 career yards going out the door. And no matter how well you recruit, until you get them on the field, you can't be 100% sure what those guys are going to look like, how they're going to handle a primary role as opposed to a backup or a complementary role. So so I'll be looking at all those things. I'm really eager to see what kind of impact Jay Hayes is going to make. I think that was a huge, regardless of what happens with Demetrius Robertson, I think that graduate transfer is one that could really pay major dividends for Georgia. So I've been looking a little bit more into Jay Hayes, talking to people who've known him in the past, see what kind of impact that he'll have. Linebacker is huge. Most people talk about the secondary on Georgia's defense, but it's really that second line of defense that I'm most intrigued about. That's not a small thing ever. But, you know, when you lose a guy like Roquan Smith, but not just him, really all four guys, not counting Natres, Patrick, and we'll see exactly how Kirby Smart is going to play that, whether there's any more games that Natres, Patrick is going to have to miss. If he's in there, that's a big deal. But Natres, Patrick, and Monty Rice, DeAndre Walker, and Walter Grant, are those guys going to be able to duplicate the type of effort and not effort, but the type of production that they got out of that group last year? That's not a small thing. So I just start, you know, looking around the depth chart and see if what I saw last year is emulated at all in this new group.
It's a fascinating subplot to kind of watch unfold, Chip. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know your coverage at DogNation.com is going to be outstanding. We'll look forward to reading it, and we'll look forward to speaking to you soon right here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marcos Pizza. Have a great week, Chip.
See you next time.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
And I will say this, speaking of Chip talking there about Georgia practice and what it's going to kind of be like, don't forget that Saturday is kind of a big day. It's sort of the traditional, and I say traditional, it's taken a lot of twists and turns over the years. It's not what it once was, but sort of the fan day event is this Saturday. The main event of that is the open practice. Now, there'll be some autograph opportunities, and Uga's going to be there, and I guess you get a chance to get a signature from Kirby Smart as well. But the one thing that everyone's going to get a chance to do is see Georgia practice there live and in person at Sanford Stadium on Saturday. And I know it'll be hot as the Dickens, but it's still going to probably be a pretty fun day. And so if you're looking forward to kind of getting your beak wet here for the start of the upcoming season, Saturday may be a pretty good day to do that. I think it's going to be kind of a cool time to see sort of that extended window into Georgia practice. Remember, the media on a typical practice viewing session doesn't get to see a lot. The open practice, though, is a chance for everyone to sort of see a little bit of what Georgia brings to the table for 2018. And you heard Chip Towers talking there about, you know, the role that a D'Angelo Gibbs might have or a Natres Patrick might have. Some of that does come into a vision here a bit by Saturday. So it's going to be a busy week here for us. We're still going to be reacting to the recruiting stuff for the next little bit. But we're going to roll right from that into practice. And then I guess we're just going to be 100 miles an hour every day until February. I mean, at least that's the impression that you get here. I mean, folks, the season is here. The excitement that we've been building for ever since January, it is off and running here, and I'm really, really excited about that. Let me take care of a couple pieces of business, though, before we move into our SEC through. First of all, I do think that Saturday is going to be a lot of fun. We'll probably talk more about that a bit here. Somebody in the comment section also mentioned Lewis Seen a moment ago, the elite four-star safety. Jeff Sintel's got a great piece up at DogNation.com about Scene right now, about how Scene came very close to pulling the trigger himself. These dominoes that fell for Georgia on Sunday with the three commits, Lewis Scene could have almost been the fourth there in that regard. So, I guess we're going to keep our seatbelts buckled here for a lot more news. And, you know, whether it drops this week or this month, whenever it happens, we'll be paying close attention to that. But Lewis Scene is definitely one of those guys that you're paying close attention to. And for those of you that have asked about Scene, and people in our comment section have been talking about him already today, I'd invite you to check out Jeff Sintel's Sintel Intel up at DogNation.com for a little more on the four-star safety from Texas, who many of you really, really like and are looking forward to hopefully seeing a part of Georgia's 2019 class. So that's fun stuff there from Jeff Sintel on that. The SEC through of our program is the portion of the show when we normally talk about the things sort of happening around the SEC. And before I kind of get into the news that I planned on discussing, something else that I've noticed in our comment section from those people who are watching the show live on video today, there is no doubt that a seeming big story in the SEC right now is the reaction that other fan bases are having to the recruiting success that Georgia's enjoyed. And, you know, whether it be Florida fans who have just lost their mind on their message boards, and y'all know that Eddie and I, we love that here on the show every single day. The LSU fans, and I've gotten a lot of these LSU tweets myself, they are beside themselves on losing two players from Louisiana to Georgia for 2019 class. Alabama fans trying to pretend like they haven't noticed any of this because they're still the bull of the woods. I think we know that that scenario may be changing a bit here. So it's really fun to watch the reaction that other fans are having to Georgia, because it is a hard thing for other fans to deal with the success that Georgia's enjoying right now, but it is certainly something to behold here, and we're going to look forward to talking about that a lot on our program the days ahead. For now, though, some SEC news. Justin Watkins is a former four-star wide receiver. He was a top 100 player in the country the class of 2018, but he's been arrested twice already this offseason. Now he's leaving Florida. Now, this is a big blow to Florida here. You know, obviously, there probably was no choice but to get rid of him after the allegations that are against him at this point in time. Of course, they are just allegations, but you know, Mullen may not have had much of a choice here. The real issue, though, is, apart from whatever sort of, you know, transgressions Watkins may be a part of here, is this is not a talented Florida team. You cannot afford to be losing your top 100 players. And so for Florida, who's trying to put together some sort of roster to be competitive in the SEC East, it just keeps getting harder because that's just not a very talented roster right now. So whatever issues that Watkins is dealing with, it comes at a terrible time for Florida. It also kind of comes on the heels of what's been reported here about a handful of Florida players with some airsoft guns and a known gambler and, you know, kind of some of the stuff going on there with that, possible discipline coming that way from Florida on that. Just an ugly, ugly situation at Florida right now, whether it be the possible discipline those players are facing, what has gone on with Justin Watkins, some restlessness on the part of Gator fans. This is a tricky time for Dan Mullen. He needs the season to start. He needs to get some wins. Otherwise, he is maybe in a bit of trouble there in terms of keeping Florida fans happy. It's been kind of interesting to watch the dominoes fall here on the heels of John Emery committing to Georgia. As Jeff Sintel mentioned in the audio clip we played earlier, if you look at those top four backs, two Louisiana kids, John Emery and Ty Davis, the two IMG kids, Noah Kane and Trey Sanders. Those are the backs that sort of have garnered the most conversation. And on the heels of Emery choosing Georgia, Noah Kane, the IMG Academy running back, he puts out his top six. Georgia not including that top six now. He's obviously looking at other schools, given the fact that that Emery's now in the mix for UGA. In fact, I think we got the tweet here from Noah Kane. We can show you his top six. He's got Oklahoma. He's got LSU. So maybe LSU trying to make up ground with Kane now after losing out on Emery. Texas, Penn State, Ohio State, and then Auburn also makes the cut for Noah Kane there. So a domino falls with an elite running back on the heels of a John Emery Jr. committing to UGA. And then something else we'll kind of close out our SEC through with, and I'm sure we'll talk more about this in the days ahead. Once again, Nick Saban sort of, this time it was to ESPN on Tuesday, talking about how he wanted to see his quarterback sort of avoid media attention. You know, this is on the heels of Arian Hurts, Jalen Hurts' dad, talk about how that Jalen would transfer if he didn't get the starting Alabama job. Tua Tagovailoa saying he almost transferred at the end of last season. That's a bit of media scrutiny and attention that Nick Saban doesn't typically like here. He's asking his players and their, I'm assuming their families, to sort of keep quiet here. It's, once again, I believe, a bit of a stark contrast in how the Alabama quarterback situation has played out thus far publicly. Now, the Georgia competition has played out thus far, where clearly both Justin Fields and Jake Fromm seem to be saying and doing the right stuff here. Kind of an interesting comparison between these two scenarios, and we'll talk more about that when we have more time and as that story progresses here for our SEC through. For now, let's close that up, and let's get ready to roll on here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And I want to do our Dog Day Q&A in just a moment, but I thought it was also appropriate today to kind of go back in time to January. And obviously, you know, most Georgia fans have long since sort of put the national championship game behind them. But it was kind of funny when you watch a lot of these preseason magazines come out, a lot of the preseason talk at SEC Media Days a couple of weeks ago, there's pretty clearly this idea that I think there's still that curiosity about how Georgia's going to respond to having lost Alabama in the national championship game. And yet I think that what happens this past weekend with the big reveal on Saturday of the brand new recruiting facility and the three major commits that joined the program on Sunday on the heels of that, I think it's pretty clear that the message that Kirby Smart sent back in January in the immediate aftermath of that loss to Alabama, I think we're once again proving that that could not be more true. Here is Kirby with what I believe was really a warning for all of college football on the heels of almost winning the national championship back after last season. Let me go back in time and let you hear a little bit of Kirby Smart here.
You know, I can't say enough about the remarkable senior class. These two young men sitting next to me, they meant more to Georgia than yards. A lot of heart and soul, a lot of fire. Sonny Michel came over and talked to the group several times during the game, inspired those guys. But in overtime, we didn't finish when we had to, and Alabama did. And to give them credit, but I think everybody can see that Georgia's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I'm very proud of this team and this university, and we're not going anywhere.
Kirby Smart says everyone can see that Georgia's going to be a force to be reckoned with, and we're not going anywhere. And what Kirby said then, I think, has been proven true every moment since then. Whether it be what I thought was a very successful spring practice for UGA, the culmination of the number one class in the country for 2018, and what the work that's already being done here in 2019 as well. This is as single-minded and as focused as I've seen Georgia football. And Kirby Smart's obviously the guy that's going to take the lion's share of the credit for that for a good reason. And I think when the events of the 2018 season play out, when the final touches are put on the 2019 recruiting class, I think Kirby Smart's words then could very well be proven prophetic. This truly is a program that planted a flag in the 2017 season that continued for many years to come, and obviously the Georgia fans that listen and watch our program every day cannot wait to watch all of that unfold. All right, so live here on video and in our comment section, though, for those of you who are listening to the program and want to weigh in on Twitter, at Dog Nation Daily, whether you listen on the podcast or the radio program, love to have you weigh in on our Dog Day Q&A trivia question. It's actually not a trivia question. You know what I'm saying. It's our conversation starter here question. It's our Dog Day Q&A for today. What is the most interesting storyline for Georgia as it gets ready to begin its 2018 practice? I'd love to have you weigh in on that. It's our Dog Day Q&A question. As I said, if you listen to the radio program, if you listen to us on the podcast, you can weigh in with me on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily, or if you're watching the show on a video, we'll take some of your comments live here in just a moment. What is the most interesting UGA practice storyline? You can weigh in on that as part of our Dog Day Q&A for today. By the way, somebody reached out to me on Twitter recently and said, how about the comments that you put on video? Could you also make those a part of the podcast as well? And listen, I'm always open to suggestions for how you guys want to handle things and what you guys want to see as part of making this show bigger and better each and every day. So that's certainly an idea that I'm willing to consider if more of you would like that. Let me also close the show by saying 89 days from now, Georgia goes back to Jacksonville. It's the Florida Gators again. It's our Gatorator countdown. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.